They will not come to order for the lack of a quorum. Okay, I'll call this session of Courts of Public Safety Committee in order. Gentlemen, as far as an agenda today, typically I have a formal agenda that I send out. Actually, this week it got away from me, the short turnaround. So I'll be a little flexible today. And I do have Justice Lahowski and Justice Kendrick have reached out to me in the past about items on the agenda, so you guys will be on the agenda for this evening. The first order of business that I would like to do pertains to Justice Boyer. Justice Boyer, I will be out of state next week for the quorum court meeting, and I would like to task you, if you would, to do the report out for the quorum court meeting next week. So if you would take notes so that you can do that for me, that would be much appreciated.
I will. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Justice Boyer. I appreciate that. I think what I'm going to do first, Justice Lahowski, I'm going to go ahead and recognize you and let you say your piece.
Sounds good.
You're good to go.
All right. I've got stuff to pass out.
Okay.
All right. So while I'm passing this out, just to tell y'all what we're doing and where we're at, I met with Counselor Ho a while back ago, what seems like ages ago, to start cleaning up our county code. I said, hey, you can do codified, you know, we can codify our ordinance, and I'd like it to be in a searchable format online so that people don't have to scroll through the 92-blah-blah-blah. Y'all been there. Y'all seen the ordinances on the website. It's difficult to see what you're looking for. So anyways, I'm working on cleaning up the county code.
Okay.
That's what this all boils down to. And this is step number one. Easy, small, piece of cake, hopefully, thing we can do. Number one, we just have to make a decision on what we want to do. So, the ordinance I passed out, I emailed this to you,
yes.
Counselor.
It did look good.
Okay, I never heard you. Okay. Copy that. What I passed out is the proposed ordinance on top that I have here in front of you. And then underneath it is the old ordinance passed in 1992. And underneath that is the old county seal. So the 1992 ordinance says, this is the county seal, and we're going to use it as a county seal. Now, has anyone seen this county seal before?
Yes.
Anyone? What we currently use is the State of Arkansas seal with the Faulkner County, Arkansas. It's on the front page of the website. It's on some county vehicles and some other things. So basically, the new ordinance says that whereas in 1992, the Faulkner County Quorum Court passed Ordinance 92-28 designating the official Faulkner County seal, and whereas today the seal designated in 1992 is no longer used, and whereas the seal used today to represent Faulkner County is the Great Seal of the State of Arkansas with the text Faulkner County, Arkansas along its outer ring, now therefore being enacted by the Quorum Court, Section 1, the official seal of Faulkner County shall be the Great Seal of the State of Arkansas as described in Arkansas Code 1-4-108, which I have here in front of me. Section 2, the exception to AR Code 1-4-108 shall be the text surrounding the seal to be Faulkner County, Arkansas. Section 2, which should say Section 3, Ordinance 92-28 is hereby repealed. That is the argument I place in front of you, gentlemen. Like I said, just step one in cleaning up our county code. There is much, much more.
Step one of 83.
Much, much, much more. But this was the very small first baby step we can take in cleaning it up.
All right, so Justice Lahowski, I see the wisdom in what you're trying to do. And so with this being the first time I've seen this, I think I will take on the role of devil's advocate.
That's absolutely fine.
For discussion. So as I look at the original ordinance, and you know what, I think I want to go through the original ordinance just so that we can have a fair discussion on this. So we, the Faulkner County Quorum Court, do hereby adopt the official seal, county seal, the seal designed by Suzanne Wagoner of Mount Vernon. So the seal is described as follows. Motto, Together for a Brighter Future, supports the belief that the citizens of Faulkner County are our greatest resource. Number two, a man with an agricultural background is shaking hands with a man from a business background. Number three, the sun is rising on a future that is bright for everyone. Women and children are included, as women are now very much at home in the workplace. Women are also nurture the children that will become our future county members, and it is necessary for the sun to rise on everyone equally. Number four, grazing cattle relate to all of Faulkner County's livestock interests, not just the beef industry. Number five, the river represents all bodies of water in our county, especially since they're all merged together at the moment. That's secondary. Number six, the evergreens illustrate the timber interest as well as the recreational potential. And number seven, the shocks of wheat are bound by a loose cord. Wheat is a traditional symbol for success and abundance and is associated with prosperity. So the reason I wanted to read this is somebody has given a great deal of thought to this.
Somebody's drawn this.
And has drawn this. It's kind of a shame that we're not utilizing this seal. It almost makes me wonder, again, as devil's advocate, is the reason we're using the state seal is that somebody got a JPEG format and it was just easy to go in and modify it. As opposed to, I don't know if there's an electronic version of this or not. Is there?
There is.
Is there actually electronic? Yes.
There. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
For those of you who may not know Suzanne Wagner, I actually graduated high school with her son. Mm-hmm. Her husband was Ben Sr., and he's a longtime business owner there in Mount Vernon, Arkansas. And his son Ben owned Big Ben's in Bologna. She is okay. A very, very, very great artist. I mean, as you can tell, this is very, very well drawn. Just a little background there.
Okay. So again, I would hate, again, understanding we're trying to clean this up for simplicity, and it does make sense. I would hate to just to take this culture and casually say, let's use the state seal because it was easy. So that's my input as a devil's advocate.
I don't know the answer. I don't know if we ask our elected officials to start using this seal since it is our seal, or do they get to just use whatever seal they want? And is the fact that we have a seal just, you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, I do know. I question it. Justice Boyer, did I see your hand?
Yes, sir. Not only if we repeal this, we repeal all this here valuable data that's included with this also. Does that remove us from being in part of all these here characteristics that Faulkner County does represent? If we just say we're a follower of the state, I don't know that the state has any nomenclature that even equivocates to this. This is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's well written. I guess I'm like you. I'm kind of a devil's advocate of being a bit of a history buff myself. And with what Justice Schock put in there about it being kind of a hands-on within the community thing. It wasn't just something off the wall. When this was originally released, passed, become the state, the seal. I mean, not the state, the seal of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Justice Lehowski, when did we stop using it? Why did we stop using it?
We all turned your mics on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Justice Houston.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I may, that was the question I was going to ask you. Does anybody know why that seal was never adopted? Because what I'm reading between the lines here, they adopted it, but they never implemented it. It sounds like it was never implemented.
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
Judge Mr. Hope, maybe you can help clarify this. Mm-hmm. Since this is an adopted ordinance before us, correct?
That's right.
Which identifies said seal as the official seal of Faulkner County?
That's right.
I guess my main concern is that we are not in compliance with a past ordinance. So either we need to amend it, like Justice Lehowski said, or we need to start using the ordinance that we say we're supposed to be using. I don't know. I guess another question and concern I would have is if we do adopt this, what all will that impact, and will there be a cost?
By state law, we can use, and any county or any municipality can use, any subdivision, any political subdivision of the state of Arkansas can use the Arkansas seal by state law, with the wording in the outer ring replaced for that political subdivision. Okay, that's the way the state law reads. Years ago, we adopted our own seal for Faulkner County, choosing at that time to use that seal instead of the state seal to be a little bit more identifiable, unique, and so forth. So legally, we can use either one of those seals. The fact that we adopted this as the seal doesn't mean we can't use the state seal, because there's a statute that still says we can use the state seal. I'm going to assume something, or maybe presume something, and say that the state seal is more recognizable when we send things across borders and so forth. If we want it to look official, people will recognize the state seal a little bit more so than they'll recognize the Faulkner seal. So there are some things, like if a clerk's office certifies something and stamps it and wants to put a seal on it of the state of Arkansas to send, say, a divorce decree to Montana to be an official divorce decree from the state of Arkansas, they're probably better served to use the state seal than they are the Faulkner County seal. If we want to put the Faulkner County seal on letterhead, that would be more appropriate use of it. So if you get rid of the old seal and we still use the state seal, great, we're complying with the state law. If you want to adopt the Faulkner County seal, then it's just a matter of where we're putting it and what we're putting it on and how we're using it. So it might be worth some discussion to figure out how we're using one as opposed to the other, or if we're using just one and not the other, and that may require more discussion among the committee.
Based on that feedback, I would suggest the reason we're using the state one is out of convenience.
Probably, yes.
I'm in my fifth term, and I've never seen this.
I developed my letterhead, I had the choice from Steve Wade to use either one of those, and I chose the state because nobody recognizes that.
That one's going to cost much more money to put that detail in there.
Money for, in what way?
Well, if you replace our seals, we use seals every day, and mine are metal embossed seals. I mean, that's been around here for years. I have hand seal. I mean, I have lots of different seals for my girls.
Yeah.
And so will the circuit clerk and all of us.
I'm not asking out of chastisement anyway. I'm just asking, if this is the seal, how did we as a county transition over to the state seal? I mean,
I imagine the seals I've got on my desk date back before
ordinance. They predate you.
They probably predate that ordinance that seal.
And if I
all the way back to 92?
Two? Oh, yeah. Those seals are old. Another idea, and I'm just throwing stuff out there for you guys, another idea would be to designate the official seal as the historic seal or the decorative seal, and use the state seal as an official seal for legal documents. That way you're not throwing out the one in favor of the other, but you still have both, and you've clarified. Because when Mr. Lehowski and I were working on this, the point isn't to use one seal or the other necessarily. The point is to make our ordinances accurate. And so if you don't repeal the old one but do a new ordinance that says that the old seal is a decorative and historic seal and is recognized as such, but on official documents we use the state seal with the different lettering in it, that may solve your problem.
So, Justice Lehowski, here's a suggestion that I would like to put on the table. I readily see what you're trying to do twofold. Number one, if it's expedient to use the state seal, let's do it and make it consistent. If this is the seal, you know, at least you brought this to our attention. So what I would like to do is to request an electronic rendering of this seal. If that could be emailed to me. So if I could get that, and then what since this is the first time that we're seeing this, I'd like to request an electronic seal. Let's table this issue, and then I want to get it back on the Courts and Public Safety Committee on the agenda with this information. And when we do that, it will go out to all of the JPs, and they will then see all this so that we can revisit it in the Courts and Public Safety, talk about it a little bit more, get a little more visibility to it. And if the decision is to go with the expedient seal, that's fine. But I'm thinking there is some culture and history here that maybe we're not all yet appreciating.
Absolutely. I like Councillor Hogan's opinion of kind of like making one the historic seal or decorative
and
seal.
And that is very much
like
something that we could consider. So I would entertain a motion that we table this issue for further data gathering.
Motion to table.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any further discussion?
Justice Higgins, Mr. Wade is listening to us, and he's working on sending you a copy of the e-file for that right now.
That'd be excellent. Thank you, Councilor. So I'll have a copy of that, and then I can get it on an agenda where it's more visible to all of the quorum board members. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. That motion passes. Justice Wachowski, do you have anything else?
I just have one comment.
Yes,
sir. That with the discussion and the amount of attention that we paid to this one, the ordinances coming up that are going to require more clarification are going to be very fun.
Historically speaking,
are there any ordinances like you can't chew tobacco in the courthouse or anything like that?
Not yet that I've come across.
Actually, that's in the personnel manual. Yes.
Is that in the personnel manual, or basically a tick rendering process?
I've come across.
Remove all ticks before you come in. Is that what you mean?
I've actually read a court case down in the archives one time about tick rendering and having your cows de-ticked.
Yeah.
And the issue, except you can't do it on Sundays.
If I may, there's also an old state law that says that, since you're the animal control guy, if there's an old state law that says that if a dog bites a person, that the dog should be killed, its head removed, and the head should be delivered to the county judge's office.
That would be David Hogue. Who said that?
All right.
So we'll move on. So thank you, Justice Lasky. I look forward with bated breath for additional information.
Absolutely.
All right. At this time, I'll recognize Justice Kendrick.
Chairman Higgins, I actually have two ordinances. I know one of them previously. I'm not sure which one you'd like to do first. I think it would be best to start with the financial transparency ordinance that wasn't able to be heard.
Okay, financial transparency. Yes, sir. You have the floor.
Do we need to have Mr. Ho agree that? I guess before we get into that, basically this ordinance was created to put all of our expenditures online from the county government, increasing our financial transparency so the citizens of Faulkner County can go out and look and see how their tax dollars are being spent. This is the same ordinance that really hasn't change that I'm aware of too much. Do you have the latest copy of it?
I do not have that one, no.
Okay.
I've
got an electronic version if you want me to read through it.
I have two copies if you'd like a copy, Councilor.
Okay. Let's see if I can get that to the
chair. Are there other copies?
I have no copies at this moment.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, the other guy. Does that look like the one we were working with?
I believe that was the last one that's sent out, but it's got changes that I don't believe were approved, mainly in Section 2 that's highlighted right there.
Okay.
That highlighted portion. The one I have that I'm showing them that I've seen is in Section 2. Do you want to read through this one, David?
I'll read it, and then we can go from there. Being enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled, an ordinance ensuring an open and transparent financial and spending system of county operations. Section 1, ensuring that all county spending information shall be placed online allows residents to know how their county government is conducting business and spending their tax money. Transparency is essential to building public trust and ensuring citizens are informed. Section 2. Highlighted language says the quorum court requests the check register be placed. Unhighlighted language says online on the county website for Faulkner County citizens to review so that they can see how their public officials are spending their tax dollars. Section 3, all of the information required shall be categorized by year. The information shall include year, month, payee, amount paid, and fund source. Section 4, all the information required in the above section shall be updated monthly. Section 5, the data is not intended to supplement or replace any annual financial reports or audited reports. Any applicable financial reports or audit reports shall be posted to the county website within 2 weeks of being received. Dated Margaret Darter, attest Margaret Darter approved, Jim Baker, Faulkner County Judge.
Okay, thank you. The only thing I had that we had discussed that wasn't approved was that highlighted section or that portion of Section 2 that says the QC requests the check register be placed online. That was never discussed and approved in any committee meeting. Go ahead. Oh, well, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I would appreciate it if y'all would take check register out, put expenditure report, because it is not a check register. And if I put the check register, it will not have all them other criteria that you want. Okay. So, I mean, you're getting the same thing, but it's not a check register. It has more detail for you on expenditure report.
I am good with that, because I know the original verbiage just said all expenses, so expenditure report is fine with me.
So. Thank you.
So if we are changing that, what I would take from there is the spending reports. Spending reports.
Expenditure reports.
The expenditure report shall be placed online on the county website. So with a resolution, we would say the quorum court request. With an ordinance, we say that this shall be done.
So I have given my dissertation before that I prefer resolutions when we're asking as opposed to ordinance and make it law. My view is if we can do a resolution, and then should we have compliance issues, whatever, then we can come back and make it an ordinance. But I always think that the resolutions are more polite, but that is my input. So this is...
I mean, my personal preference, I'm probably going to go to the opposite of what you are. I would probably prefer to have this stay as an ordinance as it was being ran, just so that we ensure, like I said, I know some of the concerns that as the elected officials change on the quorum court and in other elected offices, that those agreements and things could potentially be lost, whereas I think an ordinance is more binding, and I think with financial transparency and the expenditures, I think that's important enough to ensure that it is complied with.
Okay. So I'll tell you what I will do at this point, just on that point right there. Let's go ahead and get some clarification on whether we would rather pursue a resolution or ordinance. So I would entertain a motion either way. Justin Lyowski, I heard you.
I was going to ask you a question.
Yes.
I don't know who's a question for, maybe for Ms. Darter. Is there anything that you're publishing? You're publishing this online right now, is that correct?
Yes.
Is there anything that what she's putting online jiving with this right now, as far as you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Okay. Sorry, that's my question.
So the only thing I would like to clarify is there are some things that are not included in that, and that's like drawer pays. So I'm leaving there off because it lists those people's names.
Right.
And so everything else is going on there, but the list of drawer pays.
So, Ms. Darter, I'll go ahead and ask you, is there anything in this proposed resolution or ordinance that causes any undue responsibility for you or your office?
Not as long as you don't put a deadline. It's like if you're telling me to do it every month, I will consistently do it. But you've got to keep in mind, every other year is a very stressful year. And I will do it when I balance the books. I will balance the books, and I'll go ahead and post at that time, because that's what I will be doing. So I don't think it'll cause an undue hardship just to add one more step in there. I just don't want a deadline, because sometimes I don't balance till the end before the next month starts. You know,
don't balance like on the 15th of every month, and therefore you
I try
post
to
it on
yes,
the 16th.
But some months I get what I have to do by law, and then I finish the rest of it toward the end of the month. But it shouldn't cause an undue hardship as long as you say monthly, then I can get it on there every month. Okay. And I will do my best to be consistent, where y'all don't have to say, "Would you put this on there?" I'll be consistent.
So I assume it is not our intent to fine the clerk's office $1,000 every time she's a day late.
That's why there's not a specific timeline in there other than monthly.
Yeah, that was my only thing. It's like, don't put me a deadline, because sometimes I will struggle to hit those kind of deadlines.
Yeah, I don't believe there's a deadline in there, is it, John?
No, sir.
Okay. One question, Mr. Chair.
Councilor Hogue?
It's been raised, a concern has been raised to me that this, and I don't have a solid answer for this yet, but a concern has been raised to me that there may be a legal problem with the quorum court dictating what the other branch of, or the clerks or the county judge or the other branch of government. So you're the legislative branch. The other branch is the executive, and that encompasses several offices. So there may be a problem with this branch dictating what the other branches are doing in a separation of powers type argument. I haven't resolved that yet. Usually it's state law that defines the clerk's office and the sheriff's office and the responsibilities of each one. And I haven't come to a full answer yet as to whether you guys can pass an ordinance that requires the other branch of the ordinance to take specific actions that state law doesn't require them to take.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, then would a resolution be more palatable in this situation, because we would be requesting, pretty please, that the clerk...
There is no chance that a resolution would run afoul of any constitutional standards, because a resolution...
I get it. I don't want to hear it.
You don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear it that basically a resolution doesn't mean anything anyway. Well, that hurts my feelings.
Except for rare circumstances where statutes call for it.
That's right. Justice Houston.
Otherwise, it's true.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, can we flip the coin here and ask the same question and apply the same principles to committee assignments? Do we not have one body of government dictating to another body of government how something shall work?
The one body of government is set up by state law to say...
Understood, but what we're doing is one body of government is assigning committees, is making committee assignments.
Yeah.
And then this body is not governing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if that, you may have a good argument there, and if somebody wants to take that to the Supreme Court and let them rule on it, then we would have a decision. But okay, otherwise...
I'm asking based on what you're saying, that we can't dictate to
right.
other elected officials based on what you're saying here. And I see the reverse.
I get you, but the problem with what you're saying is, one is we're following state law, and the other one we're not. And so there may be a separation of powers argument with what you're saying, too, but it's state law, and so we follow it until the black robe says otherwise.
Whereas what they're proposing is not against state law.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no state law on point, and so we revert back to separation of powers. I'm not saying that this violates separation of powers. I'm saying I need to do more research to figure out whether it really does or not.
So, Justice Boyer?
Mr. Chairman, if we don't know if this is going to violate state statutes by being an ordinance or not violate by being a resolution, why don't we reach that determination first before we decide whether we're going to make it an ordinance or a resolution? When could you have that information, Councilor?
I can. Now that it's back on the table, I can work on that very quickly. So,
I don't see why we would go ahead and make this an ordinance and you come back next week or next month or tomorrow and say this violates state statute. Then we have.
Right. No, we don't. We obviously don't. You don't want to do that,
Justice Hendrick.
Mr. Chairman. I guess a couple points to that. We've already passed one ordinance that's before the full court being heard right now that states that public bids will be placed online. So we're already doing that. This is a similar ordinance to that one that I think should be passed to the full court. This has been discussed for months now. There's never been a concern raised. There's been one concern raised that we could potentially be violating state law, but there's no specific state law that we're in violation of. That's all speculation at this point. I see no reason why we shouldn't pass this to the full court and get it going, because there's been months to be able to raise concerns, and there hasn't been anything until we're ready to pass it to the full court. With no clear violation of law, I say we pass it.
Yeah. And And there's no problem passing it to the full court, and I can have the answer ready for that for the full court on both. I raise these issues when other people bring them to me.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we make this a resolution instead of an ordinance.
Okay, need a second?
Second.
Okay, so I've got a second. So any discussion? We've already had a lot of discussion. Any further discussion on the ordinance or resolution?
I'll further discuss.
Okay.
I'm kind of like Justice Kendrick, where I'm leaning towards ordinance because, like you said, the elected officials change out, and we don't know what the next elected official is going to do. That's the main reason.
Okay. So I'm not willing to die on this hill, but I guess we say a lot when we do ordinances and resolutions in our tone as a court as well. I think that if we do a resolution, which it has lower influence as opposed to no influence, but that's my opinion. I think when the court speaks, we're saying something, whether it's in a resolution or ordinance. Again, I think that if we reach out to our elected officials and we ask them to do things, and our current clerk has already demonstrated she's willing to do this, we can do that. If at some point we have issues with elected officials and we need to ordinance, something that we can, my counsel is if we can do a resolution and get what we need, I just think that's appropriate. If we need to reserve ordinances for when we, I don't say carry a stick, but when we really need to put the full force of the law. So I get it. I think we want this accomplished, and I understand, and I'm very understanding. I understand where you're coming from. That's why I say I'm not willing to die on this hill. I just think that a resolution would suffice in this case. And then should we have an additional, another circuit clerk when Margaret's 100 years old and decides to retire, the court at that time could remind them we have a resolution, and this is why we do this. All right, that's just my input.
She raised her hand.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to point out resolutions do not have to be published, and so ordinances do, so there is a cost savings to a resolution that you don't get with an ordinance.
I guess I do agree with your statement, that Mr. Chair.
Since we're transparent.
Yeah, Justice Kennedy.
I do agree with your statement.
Wait a second. You can be too transparent. I'm just saying.
There's an argument for that, too. I do agree with what you said, that what we do and say has an impact. And I think this is important enough that I think we deserve to show the citizens of Faulkner County that we will be the most transparent county out there, that this money would not be here if it were not for the taxes that they are paying, and that as part of being the most transparent county and letting them know what we're doing with their money, that we are going to make sure that it's put out there, because we might not be on the quorum court to remind any of the elected officials to do this. I think it's that important to make a statement that we are committed to financial transparency, just like we did with the bid ordinance, and pass it as an ordinance.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have a motion and second for this to be a resolution. So I'll tell you what, just so I can count, all those in favor of resolution, raise your right hand. I have one. All those opposed, raise your left hand. All right. So it's 2-1. It's not a tie, so that would carry, that actually voted that down. Okay. All right, so we're back to... at this point, then I'm going to assume we want it as a ordinance. I'm not going to take another vote. Do we make it an ordinance? That was the option. So do we have the wording that you would like on this at this point?
Will you read it again, Mr. Hill?
Section. Everything is the same except section 2, which would now read, the expenditure reports shall be placed online on the county website, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So let's just go ahead and make this official. I'll entertain a motion in that we go ahead and pass this as an ordinance and pass it to full court.
I make a motion that we pass with the amended verbiage to the full court.
Okay.
I'll second.
I have a second. Any further discussion on this? Okay. We make a note here, right? Okay, all those in favor of forwarding this to the full court, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it forwarded, so this moves forward to the court. And we can, for the record, we can entertain additional discussion at that point.
Mr. Chair, at that point for the full court, I'll be prepared to address the question someone raised to me about the separation of powers issue.
Very good, Counselor. Thank you. And I'm going to make a note that we remind them. Actually, Justice Boyer, if you would make a note just that we do have that discussion, separation of powers, remind the counselor, just in case he gets like flooded out or something.
Never know.
Yeah. All right, Justice Kendrick, I will turn the floor back over to you again.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Higgins. The next ordinance that we have that I'll have Mr. Ho read here in a second is regarding an ordinance approving an alcohol permit to be sent to the ABC for Los Tigres for Mr. Gino Rangel. I went out and met with Mr. Rangel and discussed that ordinance, and it's something that I think is important to helping him business his business. He's already spent a significant amount of money invested in that ordinance that he currently has. He's trying to transfer it out into the county where he's moved his business in. He's having to continue to pay and maintain it. And I think it would be prudent to approve that so he can take it to the state for that process to begin. And the thought behind this ordinance was keeping it very simple. It's not creating some bureaucratic process for us to really get into the weeds where ABC is already thoroughly vetting all these candidates. It's just a simple pass it on and let them work it out through their process. Mr. Hogue, if you want to go ahead and read it.
I will, and then if the chair will allow, I'll give you a little bit of explanation also. Be it enacted by the Quorum Court of the County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance approving Los Tigres to proceed to the ABC. Whereas in 2017, the permit procedure for private clubs was amended by state law to require approval of the governing body of a county in which a private club seeks to dispense alcohol. And whereas Los Tigres has opened a Mexican food establishment at the corner of Highway 64 and Highway 36 in an unincorporated area of Faulkner County. And whereas Los Tigres has shown itself to be a responsible business since it opened at this location. Section 1, Los Tigres is approved by this court to operate in Faulkner County and to proceed to the Alcohol Beverage Control Division for a permit to dispense alcohol, dated June 18, 2019. Attest, Margaret Darter, approved, Jim Baker.
So, Counselor, you had some editorial comments?
I do. We had quite a discussion and deliberation and debate and lots of other words on this when it first came up. And you'll remember, or some people will remember, that we went so far as to have a discussion about what that statute really meant for the quorum court to do at the local level. And the director of the ABC was invited to come down. The then director of the ABC declined that invitation, saying, to me, this statute at the state level was created as a barrier to entry so that quorum courts would have the opportunity to say we want to stay dry and keep private club permits from going to the ABC. She explained to me at that time, and this was after all of our discussions on the last permits, she explained to me at that time, told me the state rep that asked for that statute, told me that that state rep was specifically against alcohol being served in his county, and he wanted a barrier to entry so that the quorum court could have a say and completely block it if they wanted to. And she further explained to me that if that quorum court does not block it, the ABC does all the same work that they ever have done. So the statute does not, in her reading and now in my reading, the statute does not take any of the job of the ABC and place it on the quorum court. Not at all. The ABC still does all the work that they ever have done to make sure that it's a legitimate private club, to see the criminal background, to look at the business records, the nonprofit status, all that stuff. They still do every bit of what they've ever done. This was just one added step at the local government level for the local government to be able to say, no, we don't want this club in our area. Pure and simple, just like that. In the language of the statute, as I've, with that explanation and having read the language of the statute a few more times since then, the language of the statute actually says that the quorum court or the city council of the municipality has to pass an ordinance that approves the private club to operate as a private club in that jurisdiction. Okay, so that made me back up a little bit from the whole thing, because it the statute does not say that the quorum court will authorize the private club to sell alcohol. The quorum court is authorizing the private club to operate as a private club. Now, does that make much sense? No, because he's going to operate as a private club. I mean, you're operating as a private club now. You're just not selling alcohol yet. So the statute is, in my humble opinion, a little badly written, because all we're approving is for him to operate as a private club. We're not approving him selling alcohol or dispensing alcohol. He can't sell alcohol if he wanted to. At this point, what this ordinance is doing is simply would authorize him to operate as a private club and proceed to the ABC, where they will decide whether he should dispense alcohol or not. Your power here is not to authorize him to dispense alcohol. Your power to him is to block him from going to the ABC. You can either exercise your power and block it, or you can not exercise any power and pass an ordinance that allows him to move on. A little bit different than how we first looked at it by some nuances, but that's where we are.
Okay. All right, I'll open the floor to discussion.
So back before I sat on the quorum court last year, was the action to take no action?
Yes. The action back then was where the quorum court decided not to approve anything, and he has been operating the restaurant at the corner with no alcohol permit, because without the approval from the quorum court to go to the ABC, he can't go to the ABC and even take the step of applying for a permit. They have to have your approval to let him do that.
So do we approve him to be a private club, or he's already a private
club? He's already a private club. Okay. And by the state, and this is where I'm saying the state law is not well written, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you approve anything, you are approving him to operate as a private club and therefore go to the ABC to seek a permit. You are not giving him a permit. You're not endorsing him for a permit. You're just saying we're not going to block it.
So if he's currently a private club, what prevents him from going to do it? Because we haven't told him he can't be a private club.
You have to have in order for him to go to the ABC and have a fully filled out application, it has to have an ordinance from the quorum court saying that we approve him to be a private club, operate as such, and go to the ABC, which is what this does, if you pass it.
So we'd have to have this for every restaurant that wishes to operate as a private club?
In the unincorporated portion of the county. Like, yes. I said before, when last time we discussed this very briefly, there's a club that wants to do the same thing in Mayflower, but it's not, and it wasn't intended to be a situation where this quorum court goes through all the facts and figures and determines whether his nonprofit status is good or his history is good and so forth. This is, if you want to use this statute as a barrier to entry to keep him from going to the ABC, you can. Otherwise, all you're doing is saying, go do what you would do if this statute was never written.
Does that help you with your question?
Yes, that question, yes. I have more questions, but I'm really good to listen to some questions.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Justice Boyer.
Is Faulkner County still dry?
Faulkner County is damp, but it is a dry county.
It's damp in the cities and dry in the county. Is that what I hear you saying?
Based on the conversations that we've had in the past, there are a couple of locations that did receive approval before the process included review by the quorum court.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is when just that question is, and you're in an area where I practice law a lot. So just that question there's the terms damp and dry and sell alcohol and so forth. This is a Bill Clinton what is type of issue. Because in legal terms, those mean different things than they do in lay terms. And so the problem in this whole discussion has been, and I think still is, the fact that we're using both the legal term and the lay term interchangeably, and they're really not interchangeable. Sorry.
Thank you, Counselor. So Faulkner County is dry.
Faulkner County is a dry county. Now, the question from there is, what does that mean?
How did it become a dry county?
A vote of the people.
The vote of the people in the county.
Right.
The ABC has overridden the vote of the people in the county by saying that we will issue permits to the people that don't want to have an alcoholic dispensary.
No. And that's where we're getting back into legal terms, because the vote of the people to be a dry county or a wet county is not dry means there's no alcohol in the county and wet means we're full of alcohol in the county. Those are the lay terms. The legal terms, when Faulkner County votes to be a dry county, we voted to be a county that doesn't allow the sale of alcohol in public. We do allow, as a dry county, we do allow the dispensing of alcohol in a private club, but not the sale of it. That's where the legal and the lay terms.
That was in the ordinance. Whenever the residents of Faulkner County voted to be dry, that was stated that way?
I haven't read that ordinance.
I'm sure it wasn't.
All I can tell you is what the law is at the moment. I mean, I can do research and tell you exactly what that ordinance looked like and the local option looked like at the time, but what the law is right now is dry county means a certain thing, and it doesn't mean what most people think it means legally.
So I think as a comment I would make is I understand I can appreciate the legal and the lay terms. I would think that most of our voters would look at and constituents at what the lay term is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's probably, this is not in my district, District 12, the most beautiful district in the county of Faulkner. During our conversations earlier when this was discussed, I had no sympathy from the constituents that I visited with in District 12 for allowing alcoholic beverages to be sold in the county. Now, I can go back and re-poll my constituents and see if their lay and legal terms have been modernized. I don't know. Mine hasn't been. We're back, as far as I can see, we're back to square one. I still don't see whether there's any sympathy for this in District 12.
Justice Kendrick, is this location in your district? I'm just curious.
No, sir, it's not. But I did have several constituents that are in my district that know Mr. Rangel called me about. So that's why I started checking into it.
This location is in Steve Good's district, which is where I live.
Okay. So most of the locations in your district then would probably go to the city council?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Justice Lasky?
I don't know if this is a question or a point of discussion. What we're approving, you said, and it says in here, private club. And there are lots of private clubs, right? The Conway Country Club, like, would that be an example of a private club? All right, I'm a member of a private club. I'm a member, not of the Conway Country Club. I'm a member of the Knights of Columbus. That's a private club. Have you been to our fish fries? We have fish fries. My problem is I don't want, we're talking about private clubs here. I would hate to limit a private club such as the Knights of Columbus. There's a lot of development going on down 6th Street. Right now, there's a lot of things coming up. If the Knights of Columbus chose to relocate out in the county, we'd have to say no to them. We'd have to say no, Knights of Columbus, you're not allowed to come out in the county because you're a private club. That's what bothers me about this ordinance, is that it's not just for a restaurant that dispenses alcohol. The definition is in here, and we may have to take it up with the state, is that it's of a private club. That's really what bothers me. And the Knights of Columbus, in case y'all don't know, it's a Catholic fraternal organization. So yes, that's my comment.
Mr. Hogue, if we take the approach of not approving ordinances like this for whatever specific entity is requesting it, since there are active alcohol permits within the county, what will happen to those businesses or entities that have those?
They will keep serving, and they'll have a monopoly, I guess, if that's where you're going.
When they come back for renewal, they'll be able to continue serving if we do not approve?
I don't think that they're, and you're getting into something I'd have to look up, but when they come back for renewal, they don't come back for renewal, as I understand it, to us. Only the new ones come to us. And so take the supper club, if it's still called that, they would go to the ABC for renewal, but they wouldn't come to us for renewal because they're grandfathered in, or B, only the new clubs come to us.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
So we actually asked that question last time, and the answer was the renewals do not come back for us.
Very good, very good. Okay, yeah, I guess just to, piggyback on Justice Lahofsky's point, you know, I've heard a lot of discussion from Justice Pickett and the public or the finance committee, and as well as the full quorum court, how we could use more tax money. And if we don't allow businesses to operate and utilize, I don't own a restaurant. I don't know the best way to operate a restaurant, but I'm going to assume Mr. Rangel does. And if this will help his business, I think it's in the best interest of Faulkner County to say we're open for business and those entities that could possibly transfer out. If we're going to limit them from doing that, I have a hard time stomaching, as a limited government Republican, hindering business, government getting in the way of it. I think the market should decide those things. If the market doesn't like a business or an entity, they won't support it. But I think as a limited government guy, I have a hard time hindering business.
Mr. Chairman.
Justice Shaw.
Is this on?
Yes.
This on? I have been approached by several of my constituents in JP10, which is borders right where this business is, and an overwhelming majority agree that any alcohol in the county would be bad. So just to be fully transparent, with all due respect, I will be voting against this.
Okay. So Justice Kendrick, I guess in my response, representing my constituents, I go back to, number one, I think the tax question is kind of irrelevant. And the reason I say that is when we looked at the wet dry issue several years ago, when that came up, we ran the numbers. The taxing aspect of the alcohol in the county part of it is not that significant, because most of it would go to the state anyway. Secondary, we are a dry county. In lay term, legal term, or whatever, it is dry. What the city of Conway does, and the fairness of the fact that we have facilities, you know, that distribute alcohol in the city, that's up to the city of Conway or the city of Mayflower or the city of Longyearbyen in the unincorporated part of the county. I don't support it. I think if the people want to make a change in Faulkner County, they can. I think the fact that we have a couple of entities, the Supper Club, which actually pulled strings with the Clintons, is the report that I have. I'll leave it at that. I also say this, that you know, on a personal basis, that I have a bias. You know, in 1997, my brother-in-law was murdered by a drunk driver. I have no sympathy towards DWI, and I know nobody in this room does. But also, as a an auxiliary law enforcement officer, I have seen the other end of it significantly. And you say, well, you know, I'm just buying a few drinks, that's not that big of a deal. And I would differ. So I would argue that to the end. So my view on this is, if the citizens of Faulkner County want to change the wet, dry aspect of it in Faulkner County, they have that right to do so. You know, large corporations, like they tried last time, tried to come in and buy the boat in Faulkner County, and it failed overwhelmingly after they dumped a lot of money in the county and tried to change it based on same store sales increase. So I think the status quo that we have now, where we are damp, seems to be working. I grew up in Pulaski County. I don't want what Pulaski County has to offer. Faulkner County is growing significantly without this. You know, you say, well, tampering growth in Faulkner County. I'm not seeing it. I think people come to Faulkner County for what we have here now. And if that means, you know, what we have in Conway is working and we hamper it in the unincorporated part of the county, I'm okay with that. That is my view. So, in all fairness, I just want to share that.
Okay. I guess...
Hang on one second.
I have a question, Mr. Hogan, could you answer? When a restaurant has an alcohol permit, and they, in his case, and he wants to move his restaurant into the unincorporated area, he already had a license. Do you not currently have to have a license in order to get approved? Do you understand what I'm saying? A restaurant would have to come into Conway, city limits, open a restaurant, be in business for, is it a year now that they require you to be in business before they'll give you an alcohol permit?
I don't know that.
I mean, I think in this case, there's a year you have to be in business in order to get alcohol. Does anybody know the law on that? I think you have to be in business for a year before alcohol.
My memory is that you may be right, because just... as a side note, maybe, but also to answer your question, most of the, historically in Faulkner County, when people have come in with a private club request, they come in having, actually, in a sort of a way, they come in with an established private club that they bought having been created somewhere else. So they come in and they bypass they don't bypass it, but because their private club was organized in some other county, they can come in and say, we've been in business for a year because we've been in a private club for a year. So I don't know that they have to be in business, but they have to have been established for a certain amount of time before they can do what you're...
In that jurisdiction?
No, not in that jurisdiction. Okay. They just have to be established as a private club for a certain amount of time before they can do it. And historically, if you take, say, Outback in Conway, and we argued against Outback the first time when they first came in, one of the arguments is it's not a private club. Another one was you're just putting it here. And that argument failed because they bought a private club. You can't actually buy a private club, but they bought the paperwork and so forth of a private club from another jurisdiction and brought it here, so they got around that rule.
So would there not be some way that we could, as a quorum court, say, help me here. Would there not be some way that we could say that they could not come from another jurisdiction, that they would have to have been established here, such as his club? It was established here in Conway, and then he chose to move out. And like the Knights of Columbus, if they've been established here, if they choose to move outside of city limits, who are we to control someone's business like that? Because that's got to be a huge hit on that business.
You could enact an ordinance, and this is kind of what we talked about with the last forum court before the last election. You could build an ordinance that gets this forum court, and pardon me for saying it this way, but that gets this forum court into the weeds of wherever you establish first. Are you truly a nonprofit? Let's see your books. You could get into all the weeds you want to as the quorum court to establish some objective or subjective criteria that they have to show you to get that vote. That's legal. You can do that. But you're setting yourselves up at that point as sort of a fact-finding court, which honestly you were never intended to be by the laws and the Constitution. What you're intended to be in this case by this statute is an organization where, I mean, this statute was written so that Jerry Boyer looks at his constituents and say, you guys for or against this? And he says, I'm for or against it when it comes to the full court. And Chris Kendrick looks at his constituents and says, my constituents are for this, so he votes that way. And Andy Schock says, my constituents are against this, so he votes that way. It's intended to be a barrier to entry at most, and it was never intended for the quorum courts to set themselves up as a fact-finding court with witnesses and reviewing these documents and so forth. If you want to block it, this is your chance. If you don't want to block it, you let it go through.
Justice Kendrick.
Yes, sir. Mr. Engel, how much do you have invested in this alcohol permit? If you want, Mr. Chairman, may you come up here and speak?
Okay.
Actually, the renewal is coming up at the end of this month, and it's a $1,500 renewal. I have to renew it whether or not I'm in business or not, if I want to keep my permit. So I already have a license. All I need is your approval so that I can move forward to operate where I am. If you don't approve it, that stops right here. See? But I have, as a business, you know, investments can be high. I was in business for 4 years here in Conway, and well, I just decided to transfer the business over to where I am. I don't want to make up things, but where I am right now has a Conway address. So I thought that it was not going to be an issue. But until I went to get an approval information that I learned that it was the county that determined that approval. See? So, yes, I'm going to renew it at the end of the month, $1,500. And I'm probably not going to have it in use for another year, but it's there. You know, that's a big investment. That's a $10,000 investment. It cost me $10,000 to get it. Yeah. So some people have the wrong concept of serving liquor, okay? Now, if just picture a family of four, two children, a father, and a mother. Well, if they go in, just the dad is going to drink. So the dad is probably going to spend $5. But where I make my money is on what they eat. And that's it. So because of that father drinking one beer, I made a $50 ticket. But he only consumed a $5 beer. See? So if that father decides that he wants to drink one beer, but I don't have beer, then he'd drive all the way to Conway and have a beer. See? So I don't make money on beer. I bring in people to eat, not to get drunk. Okay? And like I said, here's the application, and it has been here for a year, and I'm just seeking your approval.
Okay. How long have you operated in your new location now?
I've been there a year. This month will be a year. The idea was not to serve beer, okay? But then I had my customers that wanted a beer. And maybe some business can do without beer, but my business is not doing well without beer. No. And it's very noticeable, very noticeable. So it would help me, it would help a business, and that's all I'm looking for.
And you did serve alcohol at your other location here in Faulkner County for 4 years,
for
correct?
4 years, yes, ma'am. Never had a problem with people drinking because I had responsible servers and I had responsible clients, consumers. So I trust that I can do better with serving alcohol. And I do, you know, I don't tolerate drunk people, and I don't agree with people getting passed out or drinking too much. I don't. Okay. When I moved to Arkansas, I had the opportunity to do this, and I went for it. And I invested because somebody, I had a partner that suggested that we do this because a restaurant without alcohol just doesn't do as well. Yeah. And he was right. But unfortunately, my contract expired, and I decided just to move to a smaller location. That's trouble. So that's all I'm looking for, just an approval. And, you know, just 3 miles from where I am, there's a establishment that serves liquor. So what's the difference? I don't know. Maybe the people that voted for it are not here anymore. So do I have to keep trying every time we change in committees?
What's the business that is 3 miles from you?
Almost Famous Barbecue, probably. Yeah. Up there on Squirrel Hill.
Oh, yeah, they didn't come before the court.
Oh, I didn't know they had.
They got it just before the law changed.
Huh. All right, thank you.
Learn something
today. Thank you,
Ms. Gregory.
I'd like to you to think about allowing this one business to do this. It appears to me that this man had the impression that he could move his license because he has the Conway address. But in the meantime, as Mr. Hoka has explained to us each time, the legislature made that change in the way this needed to be done. They made it evidently for one specific person, one specific area. I'm wondering if this court couldn't make this exception for this one business, and your ordinance would say that. We have not had anybody else ask us this. What I know, and maybe you know, or what I've been told about the Almost Famous, which is also in the county, out of the city limits, and they got their license just before this happened. And they're, what, four years at the most. But at first they didn't have the license. I believe they did have to wait a year before they were able to get it. I set up a dinner date for an organization once a month. My organization of men and women, they prefer to go where they can have a beer or a glass of wine. And as he's saying, nobody has more than one, but that's part of it. So my point is that couldn't this be written so that no one else could come and ask our dry county to do this? But he was caught in a hard place because of what the legislature did.
Thank you, Ms. Gregory. So I guess the only one feedback that I would have also is a comment about restaurants, you know, need to sell alcohol to be successful. They're more successful. I'll just say that Sunday after church, I was at the restaurant in Damascus. It's very similar to this, and it was a 40-minute wait to get in there, and obviously they don't serve alcohol. So it probably does have an impact in some areas and others not. All right, any additional comments from the committee? Justice Kendrick.
I guess really the last thing is that, you know, we've heard Mr. Rangel, he's got a significant investment into this. This ordinance, to Ms. Gregory's point, is it's only for Los Tigres. It's not an open blanket, an open check for everything. It's on a case-by-case basis, and it's for Mr. Rangel's restaurant. He's already invested $10,000 in it, and he's going to invest another $1,500, and he's not going to be able to use it. And we are able to allow him to use that. We are able to not be a roadblock to allow his business to do what he thinks is best. As a small business owner that's creating jobs, that's paying taxes, that's serving food to people out in the county, we cannot be a hindrance to that, and we can vote for it. So I would recommend that we pass this to the full court for a discussion, because it does impact more than just our five districts here in this committee. Thank you.
So, Justice Kendrick, I would make a comment that regardless of whether we pass it or not, I don't think we should be so naive to think this is a one-time deal.
I agree. I mean, I'm not saying there won't be other requests, but I'm saying this is not an open, this is for Mr. Ringel's restaurant specifically. It is a very specific ordinance that says it's his business. I mean, we know there's going to be more. That's a given. We've heard about the business in Mayflower. But.
Justice Boyer, did I see your hand?
Yes. This is an ordinance just to allow Mr. Ringel to petition the ABC. Has nothing to do with the court allowing them to have a drink. It's nothing to do. So whether we, if we did or did not pass this tonight, all we're not authorizing him to sell beer at his restaurant. Fact number one. I don't think, Counselor, I don't think we could limit one business to do, that would be creating a monopoly, I'm confident. So we couldn't put a limitation on it. Maybe I'm wrong. I only
know. No, you're right.
Went to short time to law school. And to your point, Mr. Chairman, there will be other people, that other restaurants, other entities that are not in the county, the out county now, that will see this as an open door to petition the quorum court to bring similar ordinances to us, to admit them, to allow them to approach the ABC for permits. After we allow them to approach the ABC for a permit, and a permit would be granted, we're out of the picture. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
So there can be establishments all over the county. Period. I guess, Mr. Chairman, that's about all I have to say.
In as much as you approve those all to go to the ABC, yes.
Yes.
All right, any additional comments? All right, so at this point, I would entertain a motion whether to send this to the full court or not.
I make a motion to send this ordinance to the full court.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion second. Any last words? All right, so all those in favor, show by uplifted hand. Okay, all those opposed? The chair votes no. So this fails. All right, any other business before the committee? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, this is adjourned. Thank you.